The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
The siege of planet Earth continues to accelerate. How much time do we have if the current course of planetary omnicide is not completely altered? This is the pressing question that continues. This is Dane Wigginton with GeoengineeringWatch.org Radio, the weekly edition of the Global Alert News Hour. This show is for April 1st, 2017. This commercial-free news hour, as always, brought to you with no advertisement, paid for by GeoengineeringWatch.org. There's far, far too much news to even begin to cover. We try to hit the most critical points, but there is so much to cover, not enough time to do it. We'll do our best. This show is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. The Global Alert News Hour is also aired on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network, Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Many other networks picking up this show also, thankfully, helping us to get the word out on the most critical issues of all. Recordings of this show can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org on the top stories, recent, and radio sections, and at the KQMS archives. Reiterating the weekly announcement of informational DVDs for free at Orchard Nutrition. If you're in the Redding area of Shasta County, go by into the vitamin section of Orchard Nutrition, ask the extremely helpful and knowledgeable staff there about the free information, and please put it to work. We're doing our best to supply this information with the limited resources that we have. Please put it to work. Share it with others. Make copies. Information on vaccination, Silent Epidemic, powerful vaccination film by Gary Null, which also contains climate engineering disseminations on it. There's also a separate DVD about climate engineering. This is an issue that all of us must face soon. More on that later in the show. But free information at Orchard, please share it, pass it on, make copies. Continuing with the vaccination issue, because this is something that's being forced upon us to forcefully inject us, our children, without our consent, without full disclosure on the dangers of vaccinations. Find out more. If you haven't learned about what you don't know in regard to the critical vaccination issue, find out what you don't know. There's another screening April 8th at the Reading Library, free public screening. And we'll have free information there for this screening as well. The title of this film is called Vaccination Nation. Another hard-hitting documentary exposing what our government and official sources and the medical industrial complex is not telling us about vaccinations. From your own home computer, you can spend $3 and I believe it's 99 cents. I double-checked that recently. $3.99 to watch Vaxxed, an incredibly good, powerful documentary about what the CDC is not telling us on vaccinations. We have CDC whistleblowers with thousands of documents trying to present them before Congress, and Congress won't let them. This is the health of your children we're talking about, our own health, that is being irreparably damaged with autism rates that have gone up some 30 to 40,000 percent. Do we think something's wrong yet? Time to investigate. I want to announce also Earth Day, April 22nd, in Reading. There'll be a GeoengineeringWatch.org booth all day at the Earth Day event in Reading. I'll be there all day. We'll have free materials there all day. Of all the issues that we face that are decimating our planet's life support systems, the single greatest assault of all, and this is saying a lot because the human race has been horribly poor stewards of our planet. I don't know how else to say it, but of all those assaults, climate engineering is the most damaging and decimating of all. How many people who claim to care about the environment are actually addressing this issue? Very hypocritical. If this issue is not top of the list, something's wrong. If someone claims to care about the environment and this issue is not at the top of their list, something's wrong. Come get free materials at Earth Day, April 22nd. in Reading. Find out what you don't know. I'll be there to answer any and all questions as well. Before covering current critical headlines, many of which directly involve and implicate the Trump administration, I want to say the following, and I hope I'm heard. Is the criminal mainstream media launching consistent and constant distractionary attacks against the Trump administration? Yes. Is the same criminal corporate media completely ignoring the endless list of crimes committed by the Obama, Clinton, and Bush administrations? Yes. The corporate media is behaving exactly as we should expect incurably corrupt organizations to behave. In the end, is Mr. Trump really in charge of the decisions being made? Decisions that deserve to be exposed and called what they are, criminal. Were the Obamas or the Clintons or the Bushes really in charge during their administrations? To believe any such notion is to believe in a lie. U.S. presidents have long since been little more than puppets that dangle on the end of strings, puppets that are manipulated by the shadow government that dictates what really happens and what is really decided. The power structure is petrified by the flow of news and information from any and all independent sources. The power structure and their mainstream media minions of propaganda and disinformation are both so afraid of alternate sources of news that are not under their control that they are doing everything they can to label all other sources of information that they do not control as fake news. How many Americans are still more than happy to buy into the lies of official mainstream media? All of the lies. From the mainstream media official propaganda to the bogus labeling of all independent sources of information as, quote, fake news. So who's the primary source of the so-called fake news that's spoon-fed to the masses by those in power? Such a question is hardly worth even answering at this point. One has to be completely asleep at the wheel if they do not see through the smoke and mirrors of the mainstream media weapon of mass distraction, propaganda, and disinformation. CNN, Fox, MSNBC, NPR, etc. all are just different spokes in the wheel of the power structure-controlled disinformation machine. Any variances in reporting from these propaganda sources is only designed to further fuel the polarization, division, and confusion of the U.S. population. How many lies have been forced down our throats by the honorless criminals who serve mainstream media and the power structure that controls it? From the completely false and scientifically impossible official narrative of the events on 9/11 to the blatant lies about vaccinations being safe, tested, and effective, to Saddam Hussein's non-existent weapons of mass destruction. The list goes on and on and on. The military-industrial complex must have a scapegoat to galvanize populations into accepting and supporting their twisted criminal agendas. Who's the latest scapegoat for the cancerous power structure that currently controls the world? Russia, of course. Here's a headline that should shed some light on that subject. WikiLeaks reveals CIA's, quote, marble framework, end quote, capable of disguising hacks in foreign languages. From that report, as part of WikiLeaks' Vault 7 release, they just revealed a top-secret CIA project dubbed, quote, Marble, end quote, which is a program that enables the CIA to hack undetected by cloaking their whereabouts in foreign languages. In other words, for example, they could have hacked into John Podesta's email box and made it look like the Russians did it. Is this any surprise? No surprise at all. The criminally corrupt U.S. mainstream media tries to scapegoat Russia for interfering with elections. What were the emails in question about, wherever they came from? They were about the countless crimes of Hillary Clinton. Wherever the email exposure did come from, why have the Clinton crimes that were exposed now being completely swept under the rug, including being completely ignored by the Trump administration? Didn't Trump say he would prosecute Hillary? Not a word now. Not a word. Because he's dangling from the end of strings just like Clinton was. All smoke, mirrors, and deception. How many governments, let's ask this, this is important. How many governments has the U.S. government attempted to overthrow just since the end of World War II? This is historical fact. I can't read them all in this broadcast. There's not enough time. The list is 59 countries long. How severe were some of these attempts to overthrow? Do Americans even remember Vietnam and the nearly 60,000 valiant U.S. military men and women sacrificed for this completely criminal and tyrannical assault launched on a country with the excuse of the Gulf of Tonkin false flag event staged by our own government? That's historical fact. Just like the events of 9/11 and the U.S. criminal corporate media is trying to start a war now with Russia because of emails exposing the criminal behavior of Hillary Clinton? Really? We're living in an insane asylum. It's about time people wake up to that fact. They need to wake up fast because we don't have much time. All is at stake now. Back to the Pentagon. From the UK Guardian, the Pentagon has never been audited. From that report, trillions in taxpayer money has gone unaccounted for since 1996 at the Pentagon. How much more central banker printed fiat money has never been disclosed on top of this figure, by the way. The report continues. Over the last 20 years, the Pentagon has broken every promise to Congress about when an audit would be completed, the director of the Audit of the Pentagon Coalition told The Guardian. No accountability, none. The military-industrial complex funded by the central bankers with printed Fed fiat money. That's why the dollar is the global reserve currency. That's why our country is willing to topple any country that tries to refuse to use the dollar as the global reserve currency. It's all connected. This is a very complex web. Pentagon, no accountability whatsoever. Military-industrial complex, no accountability whatsoever. What's the Trump administration want to do? And this is not an endorsement of Clinton or Obama or Bush's or anybody else. Please understand that. It's about what's happening right now and the current puppet that holds the White House. Unfortunately, here's the headline, by the way. Unfortunately, the Trump administration wants to give the Pentagon even more money to further expand the military-industrial juggernaut of mass destruction. Where is the Trump administration and the military-industrial complex who controls him making cuts? Where are they making cuts? They're pumping up the military to unimaginable levels because that's what a cancer wants to do, proliferate at any cost until the host is dead. Who's the host? Planet Earth and us. Where are they making cuts? Here's a headline from last week. Trump administration dismantling methane regulations. No surprise from that report. President Donald Trump proposed a massive cuts to the EPA, which would include a 23% cut to the Enforcement Division tasked with overseeing emissions at gas-fired power plants and oil refineries. The Trump administration has also announced its intention to halt former methane emissions rules for gas situated on U.S. public lands and has already reversed the EPA's informational request for methane emissions data from U.S. domestic oil and gas producers. A total free-for-all. The cancer doesn't care about the destruction it causes. It only cares about its own proliferation, and it needs massive amounts of unregulated energy to continue its metastasization around the planet. Another headline study: natural gas power plants emit up to 120 times more methane than previously estimated. This is covering our planet like a layer of glass, allowing heat to come in but not to escape. Why is Venus 900 degrees on the surface? Because it's blanketed in the same type of greenhouse gases that are now filling our atmosphere. This is the fast track to Venus syndrome. Look that term up, Venus syndrome. See what you don't know. From this report, researchers at Purdue University and the Environmental Defense Fund have concluded in a recent study that natural gas power plants release up to 120 times more methane than earlier estimates stated. No surprise, all cover up. And the population, unfortunately, so far, all too happy to have such dire news covered up. Let me add one more very important fact to the methane that's covering the planet like a layer of glass. Over a 10-year time horizon, methane is from 100 to 120 times more potent a greenhouse gas than CO2. So not only is there 120 times more methane releasing from these power plants than previously thought. Not only is the Trump administration dismantling any regulation or oversight over this leaking, but methane is astoundingly powerful as a greenhouse gas. This is not being disclosed, none of it. This is the fast track again to planetary omnicide. Another headline. Photos reveal more than 200 bright Arctic lakes have started bubbling with methane gas. It's not just the power plants. The planet is thawing and releasing massive methane deposits all over the globe. Climate engineering, in the attempt to hide what's unfolding, is only further fueling the fire and poisoning the entire planet in the process. From this report about the methane gas links in the Arctic lakes, satellite images have revealed more than 200 strange bright blue lakes in Russia's Arctic regions that are bubbling, quote, like jacuzzis, end quote, as a result of leaking methane gas. The lakes are a type of thermokarst lake. This is a scenario that occurs when thawing permafrost causes the surface to collapse and fill in with meltwater. The report continues, but unlike normal dark thermokarst lakes, these ones are bright blue and bubbling because of methane that's leaking into them before escaping into the atmosphere. Methane, lighter than air, migrates to the atmosphere and fans out, covering the planet as I described. Another headline. World's first large-scale area of acidified water found in Arctic Ocean. From that report, acidity in the area has increased twice as fast as any other body of water that's been measured, and it's now six times what it was 20 years ago. Ocean acidification is related to increasing levels of atmospheric carbon dioxide. Waters grow more acidic as they absorb this gas from the air. When you hear people say CO2 is wonderful, the more the better, that's absolutely not true. Is it necessary? Of course. Water is necessary as well. As I've stated before, if you're 10 feet underwater and you can't breathe, water's not so helpful anymore. Too much of anything is not good. The oceans are acidifying radically. It's killing marine life, amongst many other things that are also killing marine life. It's a problem. People need to understand what they're talking about when they put up a headline or they grab onto some sort of disinformation without really understanding what it means or the ramifications. That's not helping our cause. Understand the complexity of the climate, the biosphere, and all the elements that affect it. Here's a headline from last week that was covered by many frontline sources along the same lines that I'm speaking about now. All forms of ocean life dying in stunning numbers across the Pacific. It's not just the Pacific, by the way. It's all over the globe. And there are many causes. Too many people grab onto this or that, thinking it's one cause, that dichotomous thinking. Is Fukushima a huge part of the problem? Yes. Are the warming oceans an even bigger part of the problem? Yes. Seabed gassing of the materials I've just mentioned, the elements I've just mentioned, methane, hydrogen sulfide typically gases out with methane. This deoxygenates vast areas of the ocean and causes hypoxic or anoxic zones, no or low oxygen zones, kills everything in those zones. We also have climate engineering, of course, shredding the ozone layer, massive UV radiation slaughtering plankton, eliminating the food chain, also causing mass die-off. So many factors. Understand the complexity. Don't try to simplify it and put such cataclysmic events in one box for a cause. Another headline, from Canada to Siberia, permafrost thaw produces craters, sinking lands, and 7,000 methane pockets waiting to blow. I've covered this in previous shows. I've covered it in posts. The planet is thawing. Former methane gas deposits, formerly frozen, are thawing and releasing into the atmosphere. This is a planetary catastrophe unfolding right now. Many causes helping to push this scenario. Climate engineering, also primary cause. Short-term toxic cool downs at the cost of a worsened overall planetary warming. How hot is it going to get if we stay on this current course? Again, we're heading toward Venus syndrome, something that's another subject. I don't want to go into that here. I don't have enough time to cover the stories I already am trying to cover in this program. But look up Venus syndrome. Now, here's a headline that relates to something that we were told would not happen. We were told this last year when the El Nino was breaking temperature records that we would have some reprieve, but not the case. Here's a headline. El Nino odds to return by late summer or fall increasing. From that headline, since 1870, we haven't seen a second strong El Nino in such quick succession. So if 2017 turned out to be one, it would be unprecedented. This is a report from New Zealand's National Institute of Water and Atmospheric Research. unprecedented because the massive amount of heat that's building up in the oceans that I've tried to bring to light again and again and again. We're heading toward Canfield Ocean, a superheated, stratified, oxygenless, lifeless ocean. If the oceans die, we die. The power structure, the climate engineers, and the military-industrial complex are trying to hide what's unfolding from the population. And in doing so, they are ensuring that planetary omnicide will occur. They are not allowing the planet to respond to the damage done. They are contaminating the entire surface of the planet and every breath we take in the process. Our greatest nemesis as a species at this moment, and there are many challenges we face, but our greatest nemesis is climate engineering. All those involved with climate engineering, whether actively or passively, are contributing to planetary omnicide. They should be held accountable in trials that resemble the Nuremberg trials. We must expose them. This includes media. The media who is towing the lies for the power structure and hiding these crimes from the public. They thus themselves are committing crimes. Another headline, a building boom and climate change create an even hotter, drier Phoenix. This is just one example of one city. It's happening all over the globe. But it's important that people understand the severity of what's happening and the ramifications. From this report, the sprawling metropolis morphed into, speaking of Phoenix, morphed in a matter of decades from a scorching desert outpost into one of the largest cities in the nation. Today, Phoenix is a horizon of asphalt, air conditioning, and historic indifference to the pitfalls of putting 1.5 million people in a place that gets just 8 inches of rain a year and where the temperatures routinely exceed 100 degrees. Report continues. Now, however, the city faces a reckoning. It's called climate change. Again, this is an abrupt climate shift. It's much worse than climate change. We must understand that. And I'm not asking anyone, I've never asked anyone to believe me. I'm asking you to abandon your preconceptions, biases, and ideology and look at frontline data. It's happening now, an abrupt climate shift being made worse by climate engineering, the attempt to hide what's happening from the population. Report continues again. It's called climate change, and it's expected to further expose the glaring gap between how the city, Phoenix, lives and what it can sustain. The future, scientists say, will be even hotter and drier. The monsoons will be diminished. Summertime highs could reach 130 degrees in the coming decades. Think Death Valley, but with subdivisions. This cannot be sustained. So much of what the human race has done is completely and totally unsustainable. And we're about to find out how true that is as we begin to hit the wall. Another related headline, and these headlines based on what's happening in the biosphere supersede all the political theater and orchestrated drama that's designed to distract populations from exactly what I'm talking about right now. This is not just some subject that I'm particularly interested in. It's a subject that we must all be interested in if we're interested in our own survival. That's what has to be remembered. This is about survival on planet Earth. If the biosphere is altered to the degree that the planet can no longer support life, that's game over. We have so radically altered Earth's former energy balance that now, as I have stated in previous broadcasts, mathematically speaking, the planet is heating at a rate of the thermal energy contained in 4 to 5 Hiroshima bombs per second. 400,000 per day. That's how fast the planet's heating. Can't hide this much longer. Geoengineering, as I stated, climate engineering, climate intervention, making it all worse, not better. This headline again. Climate change is altering global air currents, increasing droughts, heat waves, and floods. All these mainstream headlines, of course, from mainstream sources, of course, do not address the climate engineering elephant in the room. They don't. But I am. So when I read a headline like this, understand, I am including climate engineering in this. I'm trying to point out that climate engineering is the single greatest climate disrupting factor of all, but by no means the only factor, and too many people do not correctly comprehend what I'm trying to say. I am not saying, and I've never said, that climate engineering is the primary causal factor. It's the single greatest disrupting factor in the climate right now, but anthropogenic activity has decimated the planet, and those who try to claim that climate engineering is the reason for what's happening to the climate, how can you ignore all the other sources of damage to the planet. Do you think that the climate knows the difference between a particle emitted by a smokestack or the back of a jet? How can that be true? How can paving the planet, cutting down the forests, and poisoning the oceans not have an effect? Complex equations. Don't try to oversimplify them and thus lose all credibility. That does not help our cause. From this current headline, which I just read, one final statement. Massive loops in the Arctic jet stream that have a major impact on our weather show a clear fingerprint of human activity. Well, that part's true. But what this article does not say is that the jet stream manipulation is so directly connected to the network of global ionosphere heaters like HARP that are tearing our atmosphere apart, creating high and low pressure zones, steering the jet stream, all part of the ongoing climate engineering insanity. None of these headlines reflect that. A report from across the world, something to consider. Here's the headline. March heat waves have begun to hit India with record 110 degree Fahrenheit temperatures in a scary preview of how torturous 2017 will become. I want to remind everyone that last April in India, we had a heat index temperature of 165 degrees. That's a feels-like temperature, just like wind chill, heat index, combination of temperature and humidity, 165 degrees in India in April. This must be considered for those that are in the chemical engineered cool-down areas of the East Coast and some on the West Coast who think everything's normal because they're living in a chemically engineered cool-down zone. Think about this. For those in wealthy and heavily militarized nations who are located, as I stated, in the geoengineered cool-down zones, and thus who believe the whole world must also be cool, I want to give a reminder of this headline, which was posted a week ago on geoengineeringwatch.org, which I covered. Quote, climate engineering, cooling wealthy nations while poorer countries incinerate. From that report, consider this. How is it possible that the abrupt climate shift unfolding on our planet is not creating nearly as much heat in wealthy nations as compared to poor countries? How can that be? This now statistically proven scenario is yet another glaring red flag to confirm the ongoing global climate engineering being carried out by militarized, industrialized nations is going on. Highly toxic and environmentally devastating global geoengineering programs are a primary tool and weapon of the more powerful and wealthy nations. Logic. We need to use logic in this equation. How is it possible that wealthy, more militarized nations are not heating as fast as the poorer, non-militarized nations? There's only one answer to that question. It's called climate engineering. Continuing, geoengineering destroys our planet's ability to create natural cloud cover. This is a spiral into total planetary omnicide. The more they spray, the more they feel they have to spray. The more climate engineering destroys our protective layers of the atmosphere, the ozone layer and other layers, the more intense UV radiation we get, killing plankton. Plankton helps to produce a marine layer, which helps to cool the ocean, but now the plankton are dead, dying. 60% decline in global plankton. No plankton, no us, no life on Earth. All of this is spiraling toward a very immediate near-term planetary extinction. And so many roads lead back to the climate engineering insanity. And it's up to all of us to expose this. And I know so many people who know this is going on, and yet to try to keep themselves out of facing this issue, they simply hide from it. People who should be speaking out, and those people know who they are, and I hope that they find their courage and begin to speak out, because we don't have much time. If you're one of the many who are still trying to convince themselves that the blatant atmospheric climate engineering jet aircraft spraying in our skies is only condensation, time to wake up. Another headline from the Washington Post. Trump halts federal action on climate change. That's what climate engineering is about as well, to make the public think nothing is wrong. That's why the richer countries are cooler than the poorer countries. Keep the populations that could do something to make a difference pacified. That's what it's about. From this report, with the stroke of a pen, President Donald Trump has signaled that our national security agencies no longer need to consider the impacts of climate change, or rising sea levels, or extreme heat, or dramatic flooding, or more intense wildfires, or extended drought and more severe weather. They don't need to consider these things as a security challenge to the nation any longer. This is in spite of the fact The top U.S. military leaders have stated again and again and again, the disintegrating climate is the greatest U.S. national security challenge of all. Are we to think that they wouldn't be involved in climate engineering, knowing that they said that? That's a very naive notion. So we have the Trump administration trying to sweep everything under the rug and have an all-out planetary looting, pillaging, and plundering assault until the last moment before collapse. Another headline, Energy Department Climate Office bans use of phrase climate change. Again, Orwellian world that we live in, completely Orwellian. It's up to all of us to face what's happening, what's unfolding, while we can still make a difference. From that report, the Energy Department's International Climate Office told staff this week not to use the phrase as climate change. This is a very frightening world that we're descending into. The responsibility to change this course rests on all of us. Another headline. Trump's environmental order jeopardizes our national security, relating to what I just went over. In March 2013, four-star Admiral Samuel Locklear III sat down with the Boston Globe in an interview in a Cambridge hotel. As head of the Pacific Command, Admiral Locklear commanded 400,000 troops stationed in the Pacific Command, stretching from California to India to Korea. The Admiral had to worry about North Korea's nuclear capabilities, tensions between China and Japan over the South and East China Seas, typhoons in the Pacific. But when reporter Brian Binder asked him what was the biggest long-term security threat in the Pacific region, Admiral Locklear gave a two-word answer, climate change. He explained, if it goes bad, you could have hundreds of thousands or millions or tens of millions of people displaced, and then security will start to crumble quickly. Here's the bigger point. As the climate system implodes due to the damage done by anthropogenic activity, this is human activity, which of course includes, as I've stated over and over, which includes climate engineering, weather warfare. Populations will not only be displaced, they'll be starving to death as the planet's life support systems fail. And they are failing. Here's a headline to continue in this theme. Mass starvation looms as U.S. slashes aid. From that report, the world's largest humanitarian crisis in 70 years has been declared in three African countries on the brink of famine, just as U.S. President Donald Trump's proposed foreign aid cuts threatened to pull the United States from its historic role as the world's top emergency donor. Now a reminder. Remember the information I've already covered in previous broadcasts that globally some 20 million people or more are expected to starve to death in the next 6 months. Remember this also, which I've covered again and again. The U.S. is already importing tens of billions of dollars worth of food from all other countries in order to keep the U.S. shelves stocked, in order to keep U.S. populations blind and oblivious to all that's unfolding until the last possible moment. The atmosphere and the climate system are primary elements of the planet's life support processes. As these systems continue to be torn apart, again, by human activity and climate engineering, as the biosphere implosion continues to accelerate due to these factors, economic and social collapse will follow. This week, yet another completely engineered, chemically ice-nucleated snowstorm was orchestrated by the weathermakers. The theatrical name of this storm was Winter Storm Theseus. This so-called winter storm was fed with flows of moisture straight out of the record-warm Gulf of Mexico, just like the many previous geoengineered, chemically ice-nucleated winter storms. Such an engineered event creates the headlines that the power structure and the weather makers desire, creates the illusion of cold on a planet that is incinerating. The masses must be awakened from their slumber so that they'll finally take notice of the ongoing and accelerating highly toxic climate engineering jet aircraft spraying going on in skies all over the globe. A reiteration of what this show is about. It's about the most dire issues we face, the most immediate threats we face, and those threats are not the political theater that is shown on corporate media propaganda stations day in, day out. Those threats are most immediately about Earth's life support systems, which is most directly being decimated by climate engineering, and a long, long list of other anthropogenic causes. All must be remembered. Another headline that further reveals the Trump administration's complete commitment to the corporate America military-industrial complex. Bottom line, that's what it's about. Profits. Here's the headline. EPA chief rejecting agency's science chooses not to ban insecticide. They don't care at this point. It's an all-out, no-holds-barred assault on the planet from every direction. From this report, Washington, Scott Pruitt, the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, moved late on Wednesday to reject the scientific conclusion of the agency's own chemical safety experts, who recommended that one of the nation's most widely used insecticides be permanently banned from farms nationwide because of the harm it causes children and farm workers. Continuing from the report, the ruling by Mr. Pruitt is one of the first formal actions as the nation's top environmental official. That's a real contradiction in terms, isn't it? As he rejected a petition filed decades ago by groups that asked the agency to ban all uses of chlorpyrifos. The chemical was banned in 2000 for use on household settings, but still today is used in about 40,000 farms on about 50 different types of crops, ranging from almonds to apples. That's got to be good for us, isn't it? And now that insecticide will not be banned, thanks to Trump's appointee to the EPA. Late last year, the report continues, and based on research conducted at Columbia University, EPA scientists concluded that exposure to the chemical in question that has been in use since 1965 was causing significant health consequences. They concluded learning and memory declines, particularly among farm workers and young children who are exposed. But Dow Chemical, which makes the product, along with farm groups that use it, had argued that the science demonstrating these chemicals were harmful were not conclusive, especially when properly used to kill crop-spoiling insects. But who eats those crops? And we have data to prove these chemicals are harmful, but what's the bottom line? What's the bottom line with the Trump administration and his appointees? Corporate profit. That's the bottom line. And the same is true with Obama, same is true with Clinton, same is true with the Bushes. All the same. Different faces of the same coin. I want to state this clearly. For those that take the Trump criticism as some sort of endorsement of other criminal administrations like those I just mentioned, that is not the case. Please don't think dichotomously. There's no room for dichotomous thinking in any legitimate search for the truth. Another headline. The plan for storing U.S. nuclear waste just hit a roadblock. It's about time the human race realizes that we are not only one people, we have only one planet, an enclosed biosphere. And as we irreparably poison it, we will die with it. Continuing from this report, America's favorite problem to ignore what to do with radioactive waste just got worse. Since 1987, the grand and controversial idea was to put it in all in one place, a series of tunnels deep below Nevada's Yucca Mountain, and just bury it. That's what we do with our waste. Well, last week, America got three new national monuments, including the 704,000 acres of the Basin and Range National Monument. Radioactive waste doesn't disappear if you ignore it. The U.S. has 75,000 tons of highly radioactive waste, spent reactor fuel, and the byproducts of processing it, that now sit in pools or dry caskets at nuclear power plant facilities, never intended for long-term storage. When will people realize the human race is sucking the noose around its own neck from every possible direction? From Fukushima, which there's no technology to fix, to all the building up thousands of tons of nuclear waste that there's no technology to deal with. From every direction, the human race is pulling the noose around its own neck. And how many people have asked me how many times those in power wouldn't do this to themselves, speaking of climate engineering and the toxic fallout from it? How many things is the power structure doing to themselves and the rest of us? How many examples do we need? Time to wake up. Another headline along those lines. How about the suicidal nuclear weapons arsenal? Here's some breaking information from the ACA, the Arms Control Association, from that report. The United States maintains an arsenal of about 1,750 strategic nuclear warheads deployed on intercontinental ballistic missiles, ICBMs, submarine-launched ballistic missiles, SLBMs, and the strategic bombers, and some 180 tactical nuclear weapons at bomber bases in five European countries, again, the U.S. all over the globe. The Department of Defense and Energy requested approximately $23 billion in fiscal year 2015 to maintain and upgrade these systems and their supporting infrastructure. According to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, estimates that nuclear forces will cost $348 billion between 2015 and 2024. Three independent estimates put the expected total cost over the next three decades at as much as $1 trillion. spending all our resources to further fortify a massive network of weapons of mass destruction, nuclear weapons, which will end all life on Earth, power structure all behind this, and the population, by their complacency, supporting it. This is all leading to the same place, planetary omnicide. And when they speak of something happening in 30 years, no need to worry about that figure, because in the current course, mathematically speaking, none of us will be here in that time frame if the current course is not completely altered. If you're still asleep at the wheel, if you're still complacent, if you're still putting off taking any action or making your voice heard because you're afraid of the resistance it will cause with those around you or the unpopularity it will cause, face those issues. Make your voice heard while it still matters. Another headline. It's a cover-up, not a cleanup. Nuclear waste smolders in sites across the U.S. More of the same. Hanford, Oak Ridge, Los Alamos, Westlake, and about 103 other dump site facilities. We're turning our planet into a toxic waste dump. How long can we live on such a planet? Another headline. Westinghouse files for bankruptcy in a blow to nuclear power industry. What about the companies behind these nuclear power plants? Are they going to stick around and make sure it's all cleaned up? No chance, because they know there was never any way to clean it up. So now they're just going bankrupt. From that report, Westinghouse, one of the most storied names in the nuclear energy business, filed for bankruptcy Wednesday, dealing a blow to the future of the nuclear power industry and leaving questions about the fate of all the reactors currently existing and under construction. Just walk away from the problem. That's what they do. Does anybody remember the Bhopal disaster and the 25,000 people it killed, and the U.S. chemical company that walked away from that disaster? Most Americans don't even know about it. How do those in power hide the nuclear contamination nightmare? They just pretend it isn't so. And along those lines, again, here's a stunning example. Tokyo 2020 pre-games training camps online guide. Here's from that guide. Although the Great East Japan earthquake and the accident at the Tokyo Electric Power Plant, Fukushima Daiichi Station, greatly affected Fukushima Prefecture, currently air radiation levels in the prefecture show no significant difference from the rest of the prefectures in Japan. Now, this is their excuse, because the radiation is just as high in the rest of Japan as it is in Fukushima, that somehow Fukushima now is the destination for U.S. Olympians or global Olympians training for the U.S. Olympics to be held in Tokyo in a nuclear disaster zone. And so Americans or many other people around the globe think, well, that must be okay, because they would tell us if it wasn't, correct? If that's your line of thought, you are completely asleep at the wheel. So now they're going to make an Olympics training camp out of the Fukushima prefecture. Another example of human insanity. How bad is the Fukushima disaster? Really? Another headline. Fukushima update. 50,000 trillion becquerels of radiation leaked already. 300 tons of radioactive water leaking daily into the Pacific, and no known technology to fix it. That's where we're headed. We have about 403 more nuclear plants around the globe that are going to be in this category if we don't change course soon, because geoengineering is destroying the atmosphere. We're more susceptible to CMEs, coronal mass ejections, that can shut down grids, shut down grid power, you shut down cooling for the power plants. Now you have hundreds of Fukushimas. And industrialized civilization cannot keep those grids going forever to keep those plants cooled. One can only rationally conclude that the whole nuclear industry was a recipe for certain suicide from the beginning, was it not? And for all those who would likely decide they've had enough of this type of news program, of the what they would call doom and gloom, I would remind you of this. According to psychoanalysis, the hallmark of a healthy mind, as I've repeated so many times on the show, and I would invite anyone to investigate, and logic would tell us as well, the hallmark of a healthy mind is an unyielding willingness to face the truth no matter how dire. And the unwillingness to face the truth is why we're in this situation. We can't change it unless we all choose to fully face the truth. So if all the issues I mentioned earlier were not bad enough already, it seems those in power are going to try to radically ramp up the radio frequency microwave bombardment on all of us and the entire web of life. An updated headline here on the coming 5G assault, which I've spoke about on previous broadcasts. 5G cellular technology will blanket planet and all life with ultra-high microwave frequencies. That can't be good, can it? We have scientific study to prove how harmful this is, and yet it's being done anyway. And back to those who would say constantly as a means of maintaining their denial, those in power would never do this to themselves. Yet example after example after example is right in front of our faces of what they're doing to themselves and the rest of us. From this report, the 5G revolution is rushing toward us, and it will bring a whole new era of harm from ultra-high microwave frequency radiation. And those who raise their voices against the danger to our health and to our human rights to safety have been the subject of harassment, intimidation, and attempts to silence them. And that's what this administration is also about, is it not? And former administrations, all criminal, but this one is really bringing things to a new level. And Trump is just the puppet at the end of the strings. It's those behind the curtain that are bringing it to a new level. Thankfully, some are finding the courage and fortitude to draw a line in the sand. Here's a headline. 17 Ohio cities file lawsuit to stop 5G cell towers everywhere. And there are, in all likelihood, much more nefarious agendas being carried out than even what we know in regard to the 5G cell towers. The end game is being played out, and we're a part of it. And it's up to us to expose it and stop it before there is nothing left to salvage of our once thriving miracle planet. The headline I'm about to read is extremely important, as it highlights the level of insanity of those behind the curtain, the shadow government. It reveals just how far off the rails the train is at this point. The headline is this: coal ash. This is coal fly ash. Quote, why in the world would we be importing it? This is from the Seattle Times. To give some background on this, study, previously peer-reviewed study that's been rescinded by those in power, by a nuclear physicist named Marvin Herndon. I know Marvin, and I salute his work in this area. His testing of precipitation samples that showed the same chemical signature as coal fly ash. Precipitation samples below heavily sprayed geoengineered skies. As I've disclosed also in previous broadcasts, these same materials are conducive for ocean iron fertilization, another form of geoengineering that causes the oceans to uptake more carbon, further acidifying them, as I covered earlier in the show, and killing them eventually, but hiding the amount of atmospheric CO2 for a while in the oceans at the cost of killing the entire planet. So when these studies showing a chemical signature in precipitation that was very close to coal fly ash, indicating that coal fly ash is likely a base material being used in the climate engineering operations, because we're talking about an unimaginable amount of material. Stated goal by geoengineers like David Keith to put 20 million tons of this material in the atmosphere daily, and the amount of material it takes to cause global dimming, the amount of direct sunlight no longer reaching the surface of the planet, the amount of material it takes to cause a 30% global dimming is unimaginable. The amount of material it takes to change soil pH values, in some cases 10 to 12 times toward alkaline, is unimaginable. The amount of material it takes to block, in some days, 60 to 80% of solar power PV uptake is unimaginable. We're talking about huge amounts of material. And why would they use coal fly ash? Again, because it gives one, plausible deniability. They can just simply blame all this contamination on coal-fired power plants, which are bad, no question. But the amount of particulate matter in the atmosphere far exceeds anything that would be mathematically admitted from these plants. It has to be coming from another source, and that source is climate engineering. So it gives them plausible deniability, and the elements are conducive to other forms of geoengineering like ocean iron fertilization. So why would the U.S. be importing this toxic contamination from other countries? We have to ask ourselves, don't we? So we can blame it on China, perhaps. We can blame all the pollution, all the atmospheric particulate fallout on some other source, scapegoating, again, as I mentioned earlier in this show. From this report, with the headline, Coal Ash, Why in the World Would We Be Importing It? Shipping containers full of coal ash from China, Poland, and India have come into the U.S. through the Port of Virginia and other ports. As foreign companies find a market for the same industrial waste that American utilities are struggling to dispose of. Quote, we have millions of tons of this sitting along our riverbank, said Travis Blankenship, former government affairs manager for the Virginia League of Conservative Voters. Why in the world would we be importing it from other states and countries? Because that chemical signature, if some of this is mixed in, can give some sort of plausible deniability for the true source of this contamination being sprayed into skies all over the globe as a base material. Again, there's likely many processing additives going into this material as it's then utilized and dispersed in our skies. But ask yourself, why would our government be importing toxic coal fly ash from other countries? Final headline to consider, is it too late to save Earth? Some scientists say catastrophic warming within decades. Another lie. Catastrophic warming is here now. And the job of the academic community is to not make that threat seem so immediate to the population, to keep the population pacified until the last possible moment while the noose is pulled around all our necks, while the walls close in, and the power structure, those at the very top, dig into their underground bunkers called dumps. Deep underground military bases. Look it up. Don't believe me. I'll finish with this. From the Green Party to the Tea Party, the majority of populations are still completely missing the point. The planet's life support systems are disintegrating due to human activities, with the climate intervention assault being at the top of the list. If we do not collectively focus on the most pressing issues, starting with exposing and halting the ongoing climate engineering assault, which is contaminating every breath we take, along with destroying our protective atmosphere and poisoning the entire planet in the process. If we do not deal with this very soon, nothing else will matter. That's simple. The official denial of the blatant ongoing climate engineering insanity is truly astounding. Vast percentages of academia fit into one of two categories. I'm talking about climate scientists, university professionals, government scientists. There's a long list. But they fit into one of two categories. They're either criminally incompetent of the profession, which official agencies have accredited them as being experts in, or they're lying, saying whatever they're told to say in order to protect their paychecks and pensions, and thus hide the ongoing climate engineering atrocities that are so incredibly visible to anyone who has their sense of reason turned on and who's willing to do any objective investigation at all. And hiding in your cabin on the Titanic will not save you. I've used that example over and over. I want people to think about that, consider that. If you think hiding from these issues will somehow exempt you from the consequences of what's unfolding, you're mistaken. You're very sadly mistaken. If we have any chance to alter the destination to which we are all headed, we must collectively stand up and make our voices heard. The selective reality being practiced by so many must end if we're to have any chance of changing course, as I've stated, and salvaging what's yet left of our planet's life support systems. What will our priorities be? Will enough of us choose to re-examine the world and our current reality through a clear lens? Or will program denial persist until the bitter end? What part will each of us choose to play in this unfolding scenario of planetary destruction? Will we choose to go silently into the night? Or will we choose to be a part of the cure? Will enough of us choose to make our voices heard and to help sound the alarm? To effectively and efficiently wake the sleeping masses. The Stoic philosopher Epictetus stated this, that we should watch over ourselves as we would an enemy waiting in ambush. This timeless proverb points out that our own complacency can seal our collective fate if we allow that to be. We must all ask ourselves, What part may we yet play, might each of us yet play, in the critical fight for the greater good if we simply choose to do so? That choice rests with each of us. Until next week, this is Dane Wigginton with GeoengineeringWatch.org.